Part two is what I call it. I don't know, a month or so ago I started that, and that was, I really had a good response from that, and that's when I talked about Doberman pincers and all that stuff, fear as a kid and all those things, what comes with that. But I just want to continue on with that. There's about 10, I mean, there's books on that. There's books on that, and I want to keep this simple about casting out demons. You know, what is going on here? But I also don't want to give power to a defeated enemy. You understand what I'm saying? I don't give him nothing. I do not deny his presence. Obviously, Jesus didn't. But I also know who I am, what I can have, and what I can do in Christ Jesus. So I don't deny his presence because, let me turn over here. I'm just going to read a scripture. I may go this way tonight, I may not. I gave them a bunch. But it says, Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So we know we do have an enemy. And the Bible's very clear about that. Paul's very clear about that. But he also told us that we can defeat him, period. And the many things that we call demons, people run around chasing demons behind every curtain, is a bunch of baloney. I'm going to be straight with you about that. Oh, no. I don't even want to hear that. I will not give that coward or punk any credit. He's defeated. He's defeated. Man, the two of the deadliest demon spirits we face daily in our walks with God right now are religious spirits and idolatry. Religious spirits and idolatry. They're both killers of your soul. They're both killers of your soul. Jesus addressed these two demonic attacks throughout his entire ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, he started in Matthew 4, you know, and he had to tell, 4:10 in Matthew, he says that he had to tell the Satan that you shall worship the Lord your God and no other. He had to tell him that. He attacked his identity. He attacked his purpose. He had everything about him. He attacked him. So how much more do we not know that an enemy is going to attack us? Okay, so I just want you to hold on about that, but Satan attacked Jesus' identity when he said, "If you are really the Son of God." He also attacked his authority. All of that right there in chapter 4 of Matthew. But then I said idolatry. And what is idolatry? Wow, idolatry is... This transpires when an individual gives his complete and undivided attention, devotion, passion, love, or commitment to a person, project, or object other than God. Other than church, other than prayer, other than Bible reading. They put it at the back of the schedule, and then it gets negated completely. When something other than God takes first place in a person's mind, he has entered, at least to some measure, into the sin of idolatry. Keeping your focus on the Word of God. That's what the Healing Center, Pamela Joe, taught today. Keeping your focus on the things of God. I've got a lot to say in a very short time about these two subjects here. But most of the attacks we have against our flesh and people blaming on it are unconfessed and unrepented of sins in our lives. I think about pornography. When I went into ministry, we got involved, obviously, in a lot of it. But at that time, in 04, 80% of the folks that were in, the men, I don't know about the ladies, but just the study that I was doing, 80% of the men that were incarcerated in institutions, penal institutions, are addicted to pornography. Is that a demon spirit? Yeah. What's the first thing Paul said in Colossians 3:5? Now you are to kill off all your members, fornication. It's the very first word he used. Pornography. Sexual immorality. See, all those things, that's what gets into you, man. That is an evil spirit. It's a sin. Repent of it. Stop it. And everybody smile. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask them to put up... 1 John 5:21. Praise the Lord. This is the last verse of the last chapter in the first letter of John. He says, little children, keep yourself from idols. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Wow. The Passion says, so little children, guard yourselves from worshiping anything but Him, Him being God. That's how much idolatry is. I mean, it is there. I'm going to go ahead and finish the verse I started, but Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. He said, kill it. Mortify it. That's what the King James says. Mortify it. Kill it. Stop it. Stop it. That's easier said than done, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, so what do we do? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:14, Paul writes, flee from idolatry. Flee from it. That word flee means drop your stuff and run. Get away from it. Get away from it. It's a sin. It will take you away from God. Now, if you're not walking with God, who are you walking with? Satan. Man, this is open book test, and even I pass this test. You can pass it. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you. Praise God. Okay? Y'all all right? Yep. So, in 1 John 5:21, it says keep. That word keep is to stay alert, be on guard, to protect as a house, as your property, demands a person to be loyal to the task of what they've been assigned. As Christians, what are we assigned to do? Spread the gospel and be a good news, right? It says we're not lazy and we don't fall asleep on the job. Man, that's pretty simple stuff. All that comes from that word keep. All of that does. And so I'm going to say this. Excuse me. That one might have been from Sunday. Praise the Lord. Even though I was up here, I still ain't going to bring it. Aren't you glad you can smile in church? Praise the Lord. Y'all smile with me. Praise God. I do have a news flash about casting out demons. And I never saw the movie The Exorcist in the 70s. I never saw it. I didn't watch that stuff. Man, I mean, we were working or doing something, but playing ball or something, but I didn't watch no TV. But that's the... When we went into ministry, that's the that's what people expect when they call you to the house and want you to cast out a demon. You know, that the person's over there going, you know, crazy. Okay. So that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Now, I ain't got time to get into it, but I have been around people and been asked to pray for people that didn't want to be prayed for. And they hissed, and they had the snake eyes and all that stuff sitting there hissing at me and foaming at the mouth and all of that. Hey, so the newsflash is this. If a person doesn't want to get rid of the demon or the sin that's in their life, it ain't going to happen. All the prayer and interceding on my behalf ain't going to do it. It's no more than my wife pleading to God about getting her husband straight. I had to make that decision. Yes, she prayed for me. Yes, she did. And yes, there were right labors put in my path. But I had to make that decision, just like I have to make the decision to get up and whether I'm going to read the Bible or go in the shop. Okay? All right. If you don't set aside the time to renew your minds to the Word of God, it will not happen. And I've got scripture upon scripture. Y'all know me. I'm just getting into this a little bit, just laying a little groundwork here. When I say want to, I mean really want to, desire to make a change in your life. Every person, male or female, I've ever prayed for, been asked to pray for, and they wanted to be freed, were delivered. Every single person was. And I don't know, maybe I just have that personality or that look that people just started calling me up and asking me to come do that. I don't know. But I just had that look, I guess, that I wasn't taking no mess. There ain't no devil in hell nowhere that's going to stand up to me. He cannot. He cannot stand up to you as a child of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be holy for I am holy. Man, do you know that's Jesus said that? I'm going to get in some more scriptures. I don't want to get ahead of myself there. But you can do it. And the ones that said they didn't need any prayer, regardless of what their family and friends wanted, I walked away. That recently, years ago, whatever, I walk away. Just like in Luke 10, I think 10, verse 10 and 11, when Jesus said, if they reject you at the home, wipe the dirt and dust from your feet and keep on moving. That's what Jesus said. Y'all read about Mr. Compassion. Man, that's my Jesus. Tough. Strong man's gospel. There you go, Wendell. Yeah, man, praise God. So, are y'all all right with that? Praise God. Well, you have to be because it's the Word. I mean, people might get upset with me sometimes or somebody up here at the pulpit because they're saying something but it's all I'm doing is communicating to you what's been written in the Bible. I'm not making this up. I'm not that smart. And yeah, you know, it says, now I'm going to ask them to, the devil knows there's a Jesus. Yeah, put up James 1:22. These are simple verses to me, simple. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I have a job to do. I have something to do. I have to be a doer of the word. I have to keep the demons gone. I have to do, and that is be a doer of the word. Don't be so naive to think for one second that Satan doesn't know that there's a God in heaven. And the devil's entire focus is to kill, steal, and destroy mankind, period, whether you're saved or unsaved. He has no favorites. He has no favorites. He knows where he's going, and his desire is to take as many human beings to hell as he can. But he ain't going to do that. He is not going to do that. Nah, because all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and we shall be saved, Romans 10:13. So I'm going to ask him to put up, okay, let's put up John 15:18, 19, and 25. And this is, I'm just going to say, this is the world. Satan is in the world. He was given the world. I mean, that happened in the garden. Man, the first deadbeat dad ever, Adam, sitting on the couch eating Twinkies and watching soap operas. I don't know, but he won't doing his job. He won't tending and keeping the garden. You know, the serpent, Satan comes in, deceives his wife, and he ain't even got enough backbone to tell his wife no. On the right way now, praise the Lord. But if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. They hate us. Satan and the demons, they hate you. Of course they're going to try and get you. Of course temptation comes. You know, of course he's going to lay it out there. You know, I'm going to tell you, I tell especially men that come in the office all the time, man, the devil dresses sin up pretty for a man. Man, they make them smell good, feel good, taste good. Man, good time of day. And I'm still talking about sin. So, but the world, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Hey, it's been at war. They've been at war for the whole time. Now I'm getting somewhere, so let's just go there. Okay, so put up 19, please. If you were of the world would love its own. Man, when I was running when I was unsaved and running, I didn't even know there was a devil. Man, everything was fine. I was the best thing since sliced bread. Don't ask Pam, but I was the best thing since sliced bread. Hey, everything was good. Man, me and them knuckleheads I was running with, we were on top of the world. Man. Ignorant. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. As soon as you made the decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're going to be attacked. He's coming for you. But he ain't got no power over you. Amen. See? He has no power over you. Put up the next one, 25, I think. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Satan don't even have to have a cause to hate you. He just hates you, period. People think, well, man, I'm going to bust hell wide open when I get down there with my buddies. No, you're not. No, you're not. Torment, crying, screaming, read the Bible. Praise God. Okay. Hey, Jesus said we can do this, and the only one holding us back is ourselves. If we are born again of Christians, we can do this. I just think about the mirror image of Christ. I said Matthew 5:48. I think about 1 Corinthians 11:1 when Paul wrote, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Man, you know, when you start imitating Christ, you put a bullseye on both sides of your thing. But that's all right. Come on. You can't hurt me. You cannot hurt me. I think of Philippians 4:9 when Paul gives his, you know, he's saying that prayer, be anxious for nothing but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And he goes through everything. And then at the end, he says, and everything that you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Well, that's all we need, ladies and gentlemen, is God's peace. Man. Okay. So we have to completely remove Satan from our life. Completely. And you can do it. I can do it. Does that mean that I'm not going to be tempted? No. Does that mean that I'm not going to, that things aren't going to happen in my life, that there aren't going to be storms coming up in my life? I know this is a little early, but do y'all have John 6:33 up there? I can quote them, but I just, y'all read them. I think, did I even give it to you? Praise God. There you go. 16:33, I'm sorry. Praise God. No wonder. You guys are probably thinking, what has he done? This is good. This is okay. You know, Jesus has been talking about the Holy Spirit coming, the Holy Ghost coming. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Here we go. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Man, you can go to 2 Timothy 3:12, and Paul writes, those who want to be Christians are going to suffer persecution. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to get attacked. So what? This ministry's been attacked so much. Man, I know we're in the right place. I mean, I know I'm in the right place. There ain't no way. I mean, hey, if you're not getting attacked by the enemy and he's not trying to get underneath and he's not trying to do something to somebody you know or something, well, then you're going in the same direction he's going in. Amen. That's what I was talking about earlier when I was saying in my previous life, I did not think, man, hey, I didn't know no more difference between the devil and Jesus. I mean, hey, I didn't have any church background, folks. There won't no church background in my home. My dad was king of the mountain. Period. Period. I told a guy today, healing center, a man was talking to me, an older man, a visitor, and he said something. And I said, yeah. I said, man, I was taught from early on in life by my dad that if you needed to go to a building to have another man tell you how to live your life, you were weak. Yeah, you're weak. You make your bed, you lay in it. You go up, strap your boots up, go to work. That's what you do. You make your way in life. Isn't that correct? My wife, she can tell you. I mean, I could get into some things there. Friday night at the Johnson household. Y'all ever seen Friday night at the fights? Well, that's what it was. Praise the Lord. So, praise God. I'm not kidding. So, Jesus said this, that we can completely remove Satan from our life. How can we do that? The same way Jesus did. So, they're going to put up John 14:12, my life first. And this is it, man. This is the one, 1999, the brick wall fell down in my head. And I could see clearly now the brick wall is gone. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, how many of you believe in Jesus in here? I think everybody in the house tonight. The works that I do, I being Jesus, he's talking about the works that he does, he, you, me will do also. And greater works than these we will do because I go to my Father who is in heaven. Greater works than what he's done up to chapter 14 up to that point. Man, when I read that in 1999, that literally, 24 hours after I read that verse the first time and actually meditated on it, I have not shut my mouth about Jesus since then. I'm telling you. When he said, I can do what he did, well, that comes with conditions, and that is that I live my life holy, just as he is, Matthew 5:48. It don't mean that I just sloppy agape, greasy grace, and all that stuff. No, it means that I have a responsibility to live my life a certain way. And if I don't, we're going to talk about that in a minute. So praise God. I got so much in there. But okay, so Mark 3:14-15, please. Then he appointed, this is when in Mark he appointed the 12 disciples. Now this is basic Christianity, keep it simple saints lesson about how to keep Satan out of your life. But listen, this is Jesus. This is what he told his disciples. You know what a disciple is? A learner and follower of Jesus. How many learners and followers do we got in here? Everybody in on a Wednesday night? Man, hey, man, I'm telling you what, that couch felt pretty good about an hour and a half ago. And I understand that, but I would rather come to church. I would rather come to church and hear my pastor preach. Man, just like I said Sunday, the only reason I don't get in a mountaintop experience every service is because I chose not to take one. I go to the top of the mountain every time I can with the Word of God and Jesus Christ. I stay on fire for him. I have to be calm, and I'm calm right now, believe me. Yeah. Pam and Joe's over there going, okay, 3:14, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach, okay, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. The two things he gave them, and this is chapter 3 in Mark, heal diseases and sicknesses, infirmities, and to cast out demons. Wow, must have been a little problem back then. Things ain't changed one single bit, have they? What was relevant then is still relevant today. Amen. There's still the dirty list, I call it. You know. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, put up Matthew 10:1. Saying, and this is in Matthew. When he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out to heal all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Go ahead, 15. I mean, 8, I'm sorry. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Everybody say that, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, how hard is that to understand? How hard is that to understand? You're looking at Cornbread Johnson, man. He figured that out. I'm serious. Cast out demons freely through the grace of God. I receive that authority and power, and freely I'm to go about and give it. Don't tell me when I go over somebody's house that, my goodness, there's... Anyway, and then my favorite, one of my favorites, the one I pray this every time I go into a hospital or facility or, you know, where there's every germ and the world floating around in there and everything else. But Luke 10:19, he gave us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. Nothing by any means shall harm me. I say it. Man, when that foolishness, that COVID stuff, that COVID cost my mama her life. And it cost some other people in here their family members' life. It's horrible. It's horrible. And that was the man they had you us doing. I went in there and I just got my mom, brought her home. I said, no. Nah. They said, you can't do that. I said, don't tell me I can't. I got power of attorney. That's my mama. She's coming home with me today now. Didn't I? Shook them up. That's all right. Riverside got over it. I still haven't. No. Praise the Lord. But, okay. And just a side note here, and you can read this, I mean, but it's something that's taught from the pulpit here regularly. But Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And that means they're permanent, fixed, irreversible, final. God gave them to his disciples. God gave them to us. He said we could heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And that's what we do. So, number one, wow, number one point, and I finally got to the message. Praise the Lord. Like I said, you cannot exhaust this. Jesus' entire ministry, he was attacked by religious spirits and idolatrous behavior and everything else. They're demon spirits. Point one is that if I don't change my lifestyle and keep the old man out, then I'm never going to be able to be free of demons. Never. They're going to constantly be there. That's unconfessed sin. And when I say religious spirit, recently I went to a family's house, very recently, a husband in Gloucester. He had called and set some things up, and I went. And he said he had demons in his house, and his windows were moving, his TV was going on and off. All this stuff. And he's got a little kid, little girl. And I said, all right. He said, you sure you want to come over? My pastor won't come. Very mainline denominational church. And I said, man, I don't care about that. I said, when I get over, there ain't going to be no demon in that house. And he said, oh, I don't know about that. And he's a fisherman. And I said, nah. And I went over there, and he sat on his table, and he said, hey, man, there's peace in this house. I said, there has to be. There has to be. I said, but you have a responsibility to do. What in the world's going on around here? Come to find out, they were watching all these psychic shows on television. I don't even know what the names of them are, whatever. You know, things I would make fun of if I wasn't a, you know, but dark, sinister things, and, you know, and the little girl, she wouldn't go to sleep in her bed and all this stuff. I said, turn the mess off. Do you know that they did that? He actually came here a couple times, and his house was peaceful, but his family from that church was so upset that he came to this church that he doesn't come back no more. And guess what? They're back. Yeah, yeah. So you say, wow, wow, yeah. You got to cut family ties sometimes. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't tell them, but you don't spend time with them and you don't entertain that foolishness. So I'm going to ask them to put up, The religious spirit is a demon spirit. It's rebellious and rejection. And just side note, you guys can just go read the whole chapter of 23 in Matthew, tell you all about it. He talks about religious spirits. You know, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and he says some really hard things to them, which I like. But I'm going to ask them to put up right here John 12, 9 through 11. Now, a great many, this is, you know, he in John 11, Lazarus was raised from the dead, right? He said, come out of the grave, Lazarus. And Lazarus got up to come out of there unbounded, right? Okay. Now, this is the religious spirit. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. In other words, Jesus was at the home. And they came, not for Jesus' sake, not to hear what the master said, not to hear. Here's a prophet, a rabbi, for them, that's raised a man from the dead. 3 days he'd been laying there, stinking. He gets up and walks out of the grave. They didn't come to see him. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Well, why do they want to see Lazarus? Go ahead and put next. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. They wanted to kill him. And that's in the Bible. Man, so what happens when we get rid of evil, we get rid of demons in our life, and we get rid of that sin, how do I keep from going back to it? Well, put up Matthew 12, 43 through 45, please. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, here it is, gee, this is red writing, folks. He goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now that kind of, that Jesus, that's keep it simple, saints. Man, if I speak any more on that, I'll mess it all up, man. I mean, you got to put something in you, the Word of God. You have to renew your mind, you know. You have to renew your mind to the Word of God. Put the good in. Get rid of the bad. Stop it. Stop it. Okay. Praise the Lord. We're not going to get anywhere tonight, but anyway, praise God. So, when we read the life account of Paul in the New Testament, we find out everywhere he went, there was either a revival that happened or a riot. Think about that. You read it. I read that and I go, man, there's a revival, man. He's got... And then next thing you know, they're stoning him, throwing him over. You know, there's a riot. My goodness. The truth, when it is preached, is not going to go unchallenged by the enemy. That's why this church is constantly under attack. We plead the blood of Jesus. Man, we pray every morning. Man, the pastors are two praying machines. Man, you got prayer, pre-service prayer. Thursday they got prayer here at 11. My goodness, you have to. You have to pray. You have to. Does it mean we get it right every time? No, but it ain't because we ain't trying. Man, and if you want to be a part of it, get on board. So, praise the Lord. The sad thing for me was that I didn't believe in devils no more than I believed in Jesus before I got saved. That's what the devil loved that. Man, I was his, you know. Then I find Jesus, and wow. I find my entire life was running with the devil. I was born into sin. You can read Romans 5, 6 and find out all about that. You're born under Adam, you're sin. I was born, we all were. My goodness. Just one example of this happening, I'm going to ask them to put Acts 17, 1 through 6 up. Now this is just the riot, either a revival or a riot, and they're both in these six verses. But now when they had... passed through Apollos and Apollina, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. He preached Jesus, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded. Man, had a good thing going on there, man. Had some folks coming on board, you know, join the place, man. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. He had them all, big and small. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, and set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason. Man, all Jason did was give him room and board. Man, and he caught it. Man. You know? And sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them being Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." It turned from a revival into a riot. Because of Jesus Christ. That's a religious spirit, ladies and gentlemen. That is a religious spirit. That's a spirit that when me and Pamela Joe, we were in between ministry jobs, and we in 2008, we were up there at Churchview. We bought a farmhouse, and the guy next door was surveying it, and Pamela Joe, you know, went out, being a nice little church lady that she was, and, you know, said something to him about inviting him to church. And he says, "Well, I know that church. That's the church that wants your W-2 forms before you get here." Now, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And she didn't use the word pit of hell, but she set him straight. You know, but that's the kind of foolishness that goes out there. I went to do funerals in other churches being on staff here. And I've had the pastor actually meet me at the door, because it was a family member here, and the family wanted me to do the service. And of course, you check with everything, and everything's good. You know, permission to use the pulpit and everything. And that pastor wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to dance or pull a snake out or anything. This is recently, folks. That's a religious, stupid, evil, demonic spirit. Now, I didn't say demonic, but I just told him that was stupid. I mean, I just told him the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Stupid is what stupid is. So, praise God. All right. Wow. Man. Okay. Well, the second point is that I'm going to talk about only being sober-minded and using self-control in the last days will you and I keep from being devoured and licked up by the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, very familiar portion of Scripture. And I had to read this when I got going in the Word. I had to read this and read it and read it because just think about lions, man. You ever watch them National Geographic shows, man? They eat that rascal when it's alive, man. They don't care. You know. Well, that's not what it's saying here. But anyway, he goes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour is actually, when you break it all back down and get back to the true meaning, is actually to lick the liquid up. The meat's gone. They're just slurping up everything that's left. You know? But that's, we have to be sober-minded. We have to. Peter describes the activity of the devil as he tries to get into our lives. The attitude we are to have and must keep is we have to remain on guard. Something is going to happen. And if you're not alert, and if you are not on guard, then it will take you by surprise. And how we act when we're surprised is really a revealer of who's truly in our hearts. Is really a revealer. I knew I had Jesus the first time I hit my... That wasn't too smart, but you hit your hand with a hammer. And you don't say nothing. But praise the Lord. I actually said, praise the Lord. I was working in a body shop, and this man said something to me. And he said, what the world's wrong with you? I said, what are you talking about? He said, all you do is praise the Lord. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And then he put some salt or whatever on the word. You know, he put some French words in there. But I said, nah, I ain't doing that. I quit doing that years ago, man. I ain't cussing, man. I said, ain't his fault I hit my hand. Man, he, you know. So praise the Lord. So 2 Timothy 4:5. Check this out. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Be watchful in all things. Excuse me. Paul teaching us to be level-headed, use discipline in our decisions, understanding that we need to respond correctly to the situations we are faced with daily or lose in defeat to the enemy. We will lose in defeat to the enemy if we don't stay level-headed and use discipline in our decisions. Where do we get that from? Yeah. And when does that happen? 24/7. Not tonight. When I go home and, man, I wake up on the couch 9:30 and I've been laying there for 30 minutes of sleep and I turn the TV on and something ain't supposed to be on there, it ain't on there, and I go, oh, it ain't going to make no difference. No, it does make a difference. Who do you got on the inside of you, Johnson? That's what I say. Who do you got inside of you? The creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. I'm not my own anymore. I was bought with his blood and his body. Stop it. You can't do that. So, yes, I can do that. All right. So, I'm just going to not even go there to the rest of it, but I'm going to talk about something that I haven't shared in a while. Wow. So we talk about temptations, you know. James 1:17, this is where every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and no shadow of turning. That's who gives the good gifts. James. This guy James, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the half-brother of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, that's pretty awesome stuff. He's also the pastor of the church in Jerusalem at this time. Now, this is 30 years after Pentecost. Prior to Pentecost, I mean, I read some of those scriptures Sunday, but about he was trying to get Jesus to go to, with the other brothers, trying to get him to go to Jerusalem for Passover a year early so they could get rid of him. Yeah, he said, why don't you go on? And Jesus said, nah, I ain't ready yet. You know, I'll go later. And he eased on in there later on, and they didn't recognize him. But y'all can read about it. So, when we're tempted, everybody's going to be tempted. I'm going to be tempted. For me getting up here preaching this message, believe me, I'm going to be tempted. But I don't care. Man, bring it on, buddy. Bring it on. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God don't tempt you with bad things. God does not do that. This is just one section of Scripture. We can go on and on. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He does not tempt us. God does not tempt us. He does not put, you know, he doesn't do that. I don't know how to explain it any more than that. I'm like simple stuff, man. I mean, you know. 14, but each one is tempted. Here we go. Each one is tempted. When he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. By his own desires and enticed. In other words, you got desires in there that ain't been changed for God yet. You still got a little something hanging on back there, you know. You know. 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Wow. In Mark 4, you know, sneak attacks come. You know, things happen. Things will pop up. Man, me and her, 2019, coming back from, we were down there in Nag's Head. Praise the Lord. And we were coming back, milepost 12. First time we went back was this year. When we went by milepost 12, you ask her what I said. She said, don't say it. I said, that's where it happened, right there. We were sitting right there at a stop light, and some cat hit us in the back end going 80 miles an hour. Praise God, I was in my beautiful red GMC pickup truck, extended cab. Because if we'd have been in that car, we'd have been toast. But she said, that thing hit us, and I knew exactly. I said, good time of day. And she said, what was that? I said, somebody hit us coming out of number two turn, Shug, and we go into the pit stop. That's what I said. See, what's on your heart has come out of your mouth. I didn't get out. I couldn't even see the car behind me. But he hit us so hard that the Reese hitch on the back of that truck was bent down 90 degrees. That truck was so well built, it's 06. It's the best truck I've ever drove, personally, not myself. The cab wasn't touched. I looked at her. I said, Shug, you all right? And she said, yeah. Well, I pulled on off the side of the road. I get out there, and I go out there, and I look in the car at the dude. The transmission's right here. And I said, Well, anyway, long story short, you're going to get attacked. Things are going to happen. Man, we had been reading and praying the Bible. We're listening to good, you know, teaching on the radio and all that good stuff, man. But praise the Lord. And bang! Somebody hits you. Sneak attack. How many of y'all been sneak attacked? You ever got a call at 1:30 in the morning and family member is funeral home? That's a sneak attack. Things happen. Man, stuff happens. You're going to face trials and tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, Jesus said. Praise God. See? So, in Mark 4, real quick. 4:35, one of my favorite sneak attack stories. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus, let us cross over to the other side. This is the Sea of Galilee. And he's been preaching, healing, man, feeding people, all that stuff, miracle upon miracle. And he tells them, boys, let us cross over to the other side. They didn't know why. Jesus knew why. He heard the cry of a madman crying out for Jesus, needed help. Nobody else heard him, but God hears the cries of those demon-possessed people. That was actually the last 30 minutes of the lesson tonight, but we'll have to do that some other time. But anyway, but you guys read that story. I mean, it's an event that happened, actually happened. It's my number one Guys and the People Change the Business story. But he says, let us cross over to the other side. Now, these guys are all fishermen. That's calm water. They're down here looking at the mouth of the bay. That water's calm. Man, a good day, you can see Cape Charles over there. Man, they say, okay, we're headed over there. Man, we got this. Look what happened. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were with him. Pay attention to that. Mark's the only one that mentions them little boats. Matter of fact, it's the last time you hear about them. You either in with Jesus or you ain't in. Okay? And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Whoo! Now, what was them other little boats doing? Nobody knows. But he was asleep in the stern on a pillow. That's how much peace is in Jesus Christ. He's asleep in the storm. He don't care about no storm. Man, remember Sunday, a buoyant sense of majesty, that joy? Colossians 1:10. A buoy afloat. No matter what storm comes down the bay, that thing's floating. And they awoke him and he said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many of us have said, Jesus, don't you care what's happening to me? Don't you care? Jesus is in you, man. Of course he knows what's going on. He's giving you the answer. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, the reason I say that is because that's how you overcome the enemy, is having the peace of God in your heart. And the only way you can do that is by having his word in your heart. John 14, I'm going to just say these scriptures, y'all write them down. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give, so let not your heart be troubled. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, for which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, you therefore have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you Old Testament one. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. Peace. So tonight, just as I look out over the congregation, which, by the way, is great to see you all here tonight. It's nice. But just love each and every one of you. I know just about everybody in here. But if you need to make a decision to make